is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Now, my next guest on the programme has some great news. And the great news is that she is getting married on Friday, which is fantastic news. But the sad part of this story is there is a particular reason that she is getting married this Friday, which happens to be Daffodil Day on Friday. And as you know, Daffodil Day is all about raising funds for the Irish Cancer Society. And it is for that reason that this lady is getting married on Friday. Her name is Tina. She's from Wicklow Town, and she joins us on the line. Tina, welcome to 98FM.
How are you doing?
Firstly, congratulations in advance for the big day on Friday. Tell me what you have planned for your big day.
Oh, God, getting through it mainly. everything's done. So it's now, it's just a case of show up.
Show up on Friday and and get married.
That's
And your partner's name is?
Johnny.
Johnny. Okay, so yourself and Johnny on Friday. Where's the wedding on?
In the Parkview Hotel in Newtown, Mount Kennedy.
No, great hotel. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely hotel. The Parkview Hotel in Newtown on Friday. And all family and friends will be there, and a great celebration to be had on Friday.
Well, hopefully, because it was very short notice, so a lot of people are kind of trying to take time off work or stuff like that. But
okay, now, there is a reason that you are getting married on Friday and that the wedding has been rushed, if you like, to make it happen, because you have been diagnosed with terminal ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
Take me back to the start of your story, Tina, and when you weren't feeling great, you were bloated, but nobody could find anything really wrong with you.
Yeah, everything was kind of put down to something else, you know. I had hypothyroidism and I had constipation, things like that, and I was getting very tired, and we were putting it all down to the hypothyroidism, and you know, the likes of back pain was down to osteoarthritis, and you know, I getting UTIs and stuff. I had a kidney issue anyway, so I got to a point where I looked about 9 months pregnant and I couldn't eat.
Okay, so you were saying that like you'd have a half a cup of soup and you'd look 9 months pregnant as a result of it.
Yeah, but the thing was is that you felt like you'd ate a five-course meal.
Mm.
You were
okay.
Really full, and it just didn't make sense. And so I started to get a stitch in the left side. Now, unknown to me, I had a tumour on my ovary. And it was bending and twisting, and that was what was causing the pain. But I didn't know that at the time.
So, okay, so you'd back pain, you'd constipation, you were terribly bloated, but each one of the things that was wrong with you, doctors seemed to have an explanation for.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So what made you then decide, no, I'm not happy with this, I need a second opinion on this?
Well, once I started, you know, because when I got the bloating, it just, I thought, because I'm a chubby girl anyway, like, but it wasn't going away. And then when the pain kicked in on the left-hand side, I really had a feel of it. Like, went to my doctor and he said, because of the medications you're on for all the other stuff, it's probably just constipation. And he didn't examine me, he didn't do anything. He just said, try taking Sedacot, and I went on my way. Then I went to my own doctor and she said she wasn't too happy with the bloating and she wanted me to go in for an ultrasound. But before I got to go in, I ended up in A&E with the pain. The pain
okay.
was unbearable.
And from there you had an ultrasound, and tell me what they discovered.
They done an ultrasound and they discovered what they thought at the time was a cyst on the ovary, and then they said they thought the bloating was a result of a birth cyst, and that's why I was so bloated. So they gave me anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, anti-sickness, and they let me go home and said any problems come back. Ended up still in agony, ended up coming back. They sent me to Holles Street. Holles Street done a CA125 blood test. They done ultrasounds, and then it was a case of a surgeon had come to us. Johnny had been, I was talking to him, and he came in, and the surgeon just told us, "You have ovarian cancer."
Wow.
That way, it was very much, "You have
A
ovarian
matter
cancer."
in a matter of fact way.
Yeah, completely. And
I'm sure, like most of us, as soon as you heard the word cancer, it's an awful word to hear, I can imagine.
it was shocking because it was. I knew nothing about ovarian cancer. That's the truth. I'll be honest. It's the first thing I said to him was, "I've had all smears. Every time I needed a smear, I've had it done. They've all come back clear." And it was only then I realised a smear test is no use to me at all when it comes to ovarian cancer. There is no test for ovarian cancer.
So
So,
all of the symptoms that you were having, in hindsight, are
exactly.
symptoms of ovarian cancer, but because they were all different types of symptoms, they all had different solutions. But this is why ovarian cancer is described as the silent killer.
Exactly, because you can't. It's very, very hard to detect. Very hard. And, you kind of. I just went along with doctors. I didn't argue with them. You've always been taught, the doctor knows best. And so you go away with what they tell you and you assume, okay, well, that's why you said it is. That must be what it is. But you know there's something not right, but you don't want to argue with a doctor who's been training for however many years, you know?
Okay, so they coldly gave you this diagnosis that you had ovarian cancer, and you underwent a program of chemotherapy and had surgery in January of last year. And things were looking okay for a while, were they?
Well, I had the surgery was actually in March, and they told me they were going to do 3 rounds of chemo, and then they were going to do surgery, and then 3 chemo, and then hopefully it should be sorted. But when they went in to do the surgery, I was covered. Like it was on the lining of the bowel. It was all over the omentum. And a CT scan won't pick up 2 by 2 millimeter size cancer. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there was tiny, tiny little bits that were there that hadn't quite grown enough. But the CT scan wasn't picking that up, and we didn't know that either. So when they went in, they just went in to basically a blackboard full of talc, is the way they described it, and they just couldn't get it off. They said there was no way they'd be able to get it off.
So what is your diagnosis now in terms of your survival chances?
Well, we found out just after my 40th, which was, I think, the 19th of February, they told me basically I'm platinum resistant, which means that chemo was no longer working. So they had to put me on a new chemo and keep me on a maintenance drug, which I get every 2 weeks. But I'm looking at hopefully a comfortable summer and 30% chance of getting to Christmas.
Oh my God.
So that was, I mean, I asked them to tell me. I didn't want,
Yeah, you wanted the truth.
I needed to, because I have kids, I have kids, and I've got to live my life in that time, and I want to do as much as I can. Now, my
And how
health is atrocious,
Your children are 19 and 10.
Yeah.
Two boys, one with special needs. How are they coping with this news?
Well, the little fella doesn't really know. He knows that I have cancer, and he knows that they can't fix it. But he just doesn't know that I'm on the way out. Do you know what I mean? So we haven't gone into that with him, because otherwise you'll get every day, is it today, is it today? And it'll panic him and scare him, and we don't want to do that.
And how do you feel even saying those words on your way out?
Do you know what, Adrian? There's days when I forget and I don't think about it. And then there's days when I wake up crying, just crying, because I look at things, I look at people, even that I'm talking to, and the fear of God is in me. You know, I'm not seeing those people anymore. Not being there to rear your kids. And it scares you. It does scare you. But most of the time you try not to think of it. And you don't focus on that. You'll try and occupy yourself with friends. Like, you know, a friend of mine, Sinead, she comes up practically every day. And we'll sit and we'll talk about life and stuff that's going on. And, you know, I have Johnny, and Johnny is there, and he'll start to fight with me if he thinks I'm getting too depressed. He'll start to fight with me just to wind me up and then get me laughing, you know, stuff like that. And then with the wedding, you know, Patrice and Melissa, the two of them went above and beyond to help me out with that. And that kind of, that cheers you up, and it restores your faith in humanity, and it makes you realise that there are so many nice people in the world.
This Friday is the big day. Why have you decided to get married to Johnny on Friday?
Well, you know, I suppose, just like you say, putting it off, we'll do it next year, you know. We'll have to get the money together, and we always had something else that needed to be done. So with the news we got, we were kind of, no, we'll do it now and we'll do everything else now. So we got our exemption and said, yeah, let's bite the bullet. We'll just do everything we can do in the space of time that we have now, including getting married. And so we just jumped in and said, okay, let's go.
And you mentioned your friends, Patrice and Melissa, who have, they went and set up a GoFundMe page, and they've literally organised everything for the big day.
They really did. I mean, they've been moving mountains, absolutely moving mountains. Do you know what I mean? I can't believe the support I've got, you know, from people that I didn't expect, people I hardly know, you know, have been so nice. Even the town, the people in the town itself, and all the shops in the town, you know, they've all kind of donated little things like suits, they've donated little, you know, shoes, hair stuff, and anything that anyone could need. Everybody has bent over backwards for us to support us in what's going on, because it is expensive, but then being sick is expensive as well. So we're kind of, you know, we were struggling to get the whole thing to come together. And now it's happening. And
that's fantastic. And I know one of the reasons as well is that you want to leave your sons with some nice memories. And obviously a wedding will be a nice memory. And you're also doing other things for the boys.
Yeah. I think it's important that, you know, because I'm blessed with the opportunity of knowing what I know. Not many of us get that, you know. So while I'm not, you know, happy about it, but I have got the opportunity to make little, you know, memory boxes where I can write them notes and little messages and stuff. And I can get now birthday cards from now to whenever, and I can fill them in over time and put them away.
So these are for things like weddings or special birthdays and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have my grandkids. I'm not going to have But it's just to let them know that even though I'm not there, I would have. I mean, I lived for being a mammy. That's all I was here for, you know, and I love doing it, but I have to go. So it's just to let them know that even though I'm gone, that they were always number one. They were always my priority. Like, I bought them a constellation of stars.
Really?
And I call it Mammy Loves You.
Wow.
And then you have the coordinates, and then they can look through a telescope or whatever and get the coordinates, and they can see that little constellation. And just like a little certificate and stuff that comes with it to show them. And then there's a message on it, you know, to let them know if you're having a bad day, if I'm on your mind, just look up and I'm there. I'm with you, you know. Because you want to bring your kids up. You want them to be gentlemen. You want them to treat people properly and be respectful. And I think I've got it right with Phil, the eldest lad, but I've not had the time to get it fully right with the younger fella, and that winds me up that I can't do that. But I leave them messages, I leave them notes, you know, and I'm annoying the hell out of Johnny about how to talk to him and what to say to him. So, you know.
One of the reasons, Tina, that you decided to speak publicly and, you know, speak to the newspaper and speak to us here at 98FM is because of your desire to highlight the silent killer that is going to take your life, unfortunately. And you want to raise awareness about the symptoms of ovarian cancer and how it can be detected.
I'd never heard of it. And had I known then what I know now, maybe I would have gone to the doctors, and maybe I'd have been more firm with the doctor and said, look, I'm not actually happy with that. Can you do a pelvic exam? Can you do an ultrasound? Can you do a CA125 blood test? Those are the only three things that can be done with regards to ovarian cancer to try and catch it early.
And again, just to go back on what you were saying earlier on, describe to me, and just in case there's somebody listening to us who's having these, describe the symptoms that you were having before you were diagnosed.
Before I was diagnosed, I had a lot of lower back pain. If your period starts to get peculiar, that's a symptom. You tend to urinate a lot more than you normally would. Unexplained sort of exhaustion or fatigue. Do you know, if you haven't been doing that, but you're absolutely exhausted. Constipation, if that starts, or it could be diarrhea, either or, one or the other. Another thing was I went to have a smear done, and the nurse commented that my cervix was exceptionally tight. She found that it was very hard to get the tool in to do the smear. Now, that was a symptom, but I didn't even know
that. You didn't know at that time, yeah.
No,
and nor did she, quite clearly.
No. She didn't say anything, but then your lack of your appetite starts to change. Do you know what I mean? If you start to feel like, oh, God, you know, oh, I don't, can't be bothered eating, or you're feeling full very quickly, those kind of things, they're all the symptoms. And I mean, even if you're not sure 100%, just look it up. And then if you just for a split second think it's a possibility, say it to your doctor. Don't be afraid of your doctor.
Hmm.
He's a human being. She's a human being. They may be more educated in that area, but they do not know your body the way you know your body.
And if you feel that something is not right, push them and push them and push them.
Yeah, 100%, because this is your life. I'm not even being funny.
And sadly, Tina, the point that you were making is, had those symptoms been diagnosed earlier, you would have had a much higher survival chance.
Yeah, much higher. And that's all it takes, is to be diagnosed a little bit earlier. And if I'd known, and I was completely uneducated, completely. I'll be honest, I was no idea. And then
I have to say, I know loads of people listening to us today are the exact same. And from that point of view, you have my utmost admiration for the bravery in speaking out about this and highlighting it and letting people know that this is a silent killer if it's not caught earlier.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But
all right. I want to read some lovely messages that have come in to us for you, Tina. I never heard such a positive, articulate and lovely person with what she is living with. Best wishes to her and her family. People like you will save people's lives, says that message. And I want you to have a listen to this WhatsApp voice message.
Hi, Adrian. How are you doing? Really touched with this lady here, Tina. It's absolutely, I can't walk now, really. It's really tears. And oh, my God. Pray for her. And sorry to hear that. That's really sad. Touched my heart, that story.
Okay, and I have to say, Tina, you have really touched on a lot of people. Another message says, sitting here listening to Tina with tears of sadness and admiration for this brave lady. I wish her a lovely day on Friday and hopefully she'll get more time to make memories with her family, says that nice message. And I honestly, I'm being flooded with messages like that from people. This lady, says another message, is an absolute hero, talking about what she's going through. Hope she has the best day and her family on Friday. So, Tina, the wedding is on Friday in Newtown Mount Kennedy.
Yep.
And everything is all set?
All set. All good to go.
We're all good to go.
As long as he shows up anyway.
He'd be a brave man not to now, it has to be said. Tina, you're an absolute inspiration. I have to commend you for your bravery in speaking up and speaking out and letting people know if they have the symptoms that you had, to push their doctors to find out really what is wrong and what's going on inside my body. And one last message for you, Tina, and it says, what an amazing lady, so brave facing all she has to face. I'm in tears listening to her. I hope the sun shines as bright as the stars she bought for her children. What an absolute inspiration. And the good news is, Tina, on Friday, I was just looking at the weather forecast for Friday. It's going to be about 14 or 15 degrees and it's not going to be raining. So that's
happy days.
That's happy days, yeah. Tina, thank you very much for talking to me. And I hope you have a wonderful day. I know you're going to have a wonderful day in the Parkview on Friday. And I really hope everything goes well for you. And I hope everything goes well for you and that you live well past next Christmas and that the 30% is more than 30%. I can only wish you the very, very best.
Ah, oh, please God. And thank you so much for putting it out there. You know, it's people like you that make it, make me able to spread the word. So you've done, you know, an amazing thing by putting it out there, you know, so fair play to you.
Lovely to talk to you, Tina. Have a great day on Friday.
And you. Take
and my
care.
Best wishes to all of you. Thanks very much indeed. That's Tina Potts from from Wicklow Town with her story. And maybe that means something to a lot of you listening, the symptoms that she described. And I hope she has a great day on Friday.
98 FM's Dublin Talks with Des Kelly Interiors. New store now open at Belgard Road, Tallaght. 98 FM.